My favorite way to begin preaching service right there, baptism. Find your Bible with me or your iPad or your smartphone. We have folks up here. You can use the YouVersion Bible app and follow along with us. The notes and the scripture passages are already there. We are in a sermon series taken from 1 Peter. Entitled Self-Identify. Of course, that term is being horribly misused in our culture today to encourage people to claim to be things that they are clearly not. Like this photo. Truth is that which corresponds with reality. And clearly, this little basketball is not a pumpkin. That's not reality. So his claim to be a pumpkin is not a true claim. God made men to be men, women to be women. So a man who claims to be a woman or a woman who claims to be a man does not correspond with reality. So therefore, that is not a true statement either. By self-identifying, they're using a term that kind of pollutes the use of the term for us, and I'm trying to take that back. Self-identifying is a good term as long as it is a true term. It's important. It's an important concept for us. In the book of 1 Peter, the apostle is encouraging Christ followers to recognize an important truth for them, and that is that they have experienced a major transition in their lives. You have experienced a major transition in life. The day we give our lives to Christ, literally, the Spirit of God moves into us and transforms us so that if we're going to truthfully self-identify, we need to self-identify in a way different than we did before and a way different than the way the culture identifies today also. In our passage last week, Peter tried to explain transformation Christ followers have experienced. Chapter 2, verse 10, you may remember this. Peter said, "Once you were not a people, but now you're a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And now, having undergone this transition, we should realize it and identify ourselves as somebody new, with a new identity, with new habits, new practices, new characteristics, new DNA. Another one of the characteristics associated with our new identity in Christ is honor. That's what we're going to call our sermon today. Christ followers are to be absolutely honorable people. Let's read our passage together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, he's writing to the Christ followers, I urge you as aliens and temporary residents to abstain from fleshly desires that war against you. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that in the case where they speak against you as those who do evil, they may, by observing your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit to every human institution because of the Lord, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors as those sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For it is God's will that you, by doing good, silence the ignorance of foolish people. As God's slaves, live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a way to conceal evil. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor, honor, honor, honor. By definition, to honor means to hold in high respect, to treat with honor, to show courteous regard for someone. What other belief systems do you know of that tell their followers to honor everyone? I'll tell you that. They might say, honor other followers, honor those who believe the way we believe, honor converts. That's not what Christianity teaches. Christianity teaches honor everyone. And there are very good reasons for that. In our new identity, we are now to honor in our behavior. Peter begins this passage in verses 11 and 12 with a bit of a transition from how we behave in front of each other here at church on Sundays to how we behave in front of non-followers out there in culture, which is quite different. He says, in front of non-believers, behave honorably. Yeah, it's easy to behave honorably up here. It's expected, in fact. Peter's saying out there, in front of the culture, at work, in the neighborhood, out there, while others are watching, while the public is watching, out there, behave honorably. He says in front of non-followers, behave honorably. Look at verse 11 and the first part of verse 12. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and temporary residents to abstain from fleshly desires that war against you. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles. Many years ago, in our previous church, Linda and I took a group of young people, our youth group, out to get pizza after church that evening. We used to have church every Sunday evening, so we took this group of young people out to get pizza. And we're sitting there talking and visiting, and in walks this this other group who, to us, looked as though they'd just come from their church, different denomination. You can just tell by the way they dressed. I mean, I'm not going to get into that, but we could tell by the way they were dressed, they were from another denomination. And they came in and sat down to have pizza also. But I want you to know, and I'll go ahead and use this word, they were a vile group. I don't know how talented they were in standing before people. I don't know how talented they were as singers and as speakers, but I'll tell you what, they got into that Pizza Hut or Pizza Inn or whatever it was. Man, they were loud. They were disrupting everyone. They were laughing obnoxiously. They were using foul language. They were telling vain jokes. They were an embarrassment to Christ Jesus. And they got to the end of their very disruptive time there in that pizzeria. And they got up and left without leaving a tip. Linda and I kind of looked at the little waitress compassionately, and she kind of shrugged her shoulders like, no tip. And so as we were leaving with our 8 or 10 youth, we went over and apologized to her on behalf of Christ Jesus. We want to apologize to you. Gave her a very generous tip. She said, that's okay. And she said something that was painful. You know what she said? She said, church groups are most often like that. Shame on us. Church groups are most often like that. Goodness, goodness, goodness. We need to hear this. Conduct yourselves honorably among those who do not follow Christ. You know why? Middle of the 12th verse. So that in a case where they speak against you as those who do evil, they may, by observing your good works, glorify God in a day of visitation. That's not what we're tempted to do, is it? When people treat us poorly, when they slander us, when they say bad things about us, our fleshly nature wants to fight fire with fire. Our fleshly nature wants to confront them, deal with them. That's not what Peter is saying here. Peter tells us, in the face of criticisms, behave honorably. Let me just point this out again. It's easy to behave honorably here. It's easy to behave righteously in front of the crowd who they themselves are behaving righteously. It's easy to have honor here. We expect it. It's expected of you. What's more difficult, more challenging, and more helpful is to behave honorably out there. So much so that we stand out. We ought to have a reputation for being honorable. Not necessarily as just First Baptist, but as followers of Christ, we ought to have a reputation of behaving differently than the rest of the folks in culture. People ought to know us by the way we behave, right? People ought to be able to watch us as we navigate through life, as we navigate through culture. People ought to be able to watch our responses and tell that we are honorable people because we follow Christ Jesus. For the sake of the Lord, we should behave honorably. In the face of criticism, behave honorably. Here's another thing. For the sake of our witness, behave honorably. Bottom part of verse 12. They may, by observing your good works, glorify God. Stephen, one of the first seven deacons, was stoned to death by people who hated Jesus. And he was like Jesus. He was honorable like Jesus. So Stephen was stoned to death. But he was so, he was so honorable during his stoning. He did not strike back. He did not shout things to them. He received his death with honor. And that made an impact on a young man who was there. Do you know who I'm talking about? Saul. It made an impact on Saul. He watched this man of God die with honor, and he never forgot it. He was never able to get away from it. In Acts chapter 22, verse 20, Saul still is impacted. Paul is still impacted by the death of Stephen and his honor. So much so that this young man, Saul, gave his life to Christ. He became a follower of Christ and wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, to a large part because he saw in a Christ follower honor. Honor in the way he behaved. Honor in the way he died. Honor in the way he responded. It was not the message of Christ that converted Paul. It was, to a large extent, the honor of Stephen. I just want to say to you, we who follow the Lord need to behave more honorably than culture. Not everyone who has honor is a Christ follower, but everyone who follows Christ ought to have honor. Always having honor. Second thing, our new identity calls for us to have honor in our submission. Now, this section of Scripture, the subject is honor, but Peter begins to talk about submission, and he talks about submission for several paragraphs to come. Submission is a form of showing honor. We don't even like the word submission, do we? We don't like the word. We avoid it. It's an insult to us if we're told to submit. We rebel against, we push back against, don't you tell me to submit. Submission is not going to be one of my characteristics. It will be if you're a Christ follower. Submission is a form of showing honor. Only as we submit are we bringing honor to the Lord. Verses 13 and 14. Submit to every, boy, that's a big word, isn't it? Submit to every human institution because of the Lord. Whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Submission is none of those concepts that is generally misunderstood. At least Christian submission is misunderstood. We don't submit because the recipient of our submission deserves it. We don't submit because he's earned it, she's earned it. We don't submit because they deserve it or worthy of it. Christian submission is offered because of who we are, not because of who they are. We submit for the sake of submission. Do you hear that? We submit for the sake of submission. We submit because it's part of our new identity in Christ. Christian submission is offered because of the Lord's will, not because of their will. I was raised around cattle, but not around horses so much. But our first pastoral position was in North Texas, and there were quite a few families in our church there who raised quarter horses. And they knew everything there was to know about horses, quarter horses, anyway. They were quick to say, and I would not disagree with them, that quarter horses are among the fastest, strongest, most beautiful animals in the world. These people love quarter horses. They did not like the word breaking. You know, they didn't like to use the term, we broke the horse, we broke it in, you know, in order to get it to where it would carry a rider. They didn't want to break the horse's spirit. Now, sometimes if a horse was just hard-headed enough, sometimes they had to. But they used a process with which I'm not familiar. I never got to go out and watch them. But they used a process for getting a horse to carry a rider, whereby, as I understand it, they brought the horse to the point of choosing to submit. The horse chose to take a bit in its mouth. The horse chose to carry a rider on its back. The horse chose to submit. You see, because the horse was still just as strong, still just as fast, still just as beautiful as it ever was, but the difference was now it had chosen to submit to the authority of a rider. And they just went on and on and on about this process, so much so that I've not forgotten it. They compared it to followers of Christ, and I've always remembered that. Submission. Submission is similar to a quarter horse submitting to a rider. God does not want to unnecessarily break anyone's spirit either, although, parenthetically, he will. He will if he needs to. He would much rather a person, without giving up any of their strength or beauty, just choose to submit to him, and choose to submit to the human authorities he has put in place. Submit, choose to submit to the emperor. Choose to submit to the president. Choose to submit to the governor. Choose to submit to the law enforcement officers. You know, again, the conversation here is not they deserve it. The conversation is not here, they've earned it. And so many people need to hear this. This is not a matter of deserve or earn or being worthy. We don't submit because of who they are. We submit because of what? Who we are. We identify now as Christ followers. We identify as people who are controlled and dominated by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now we submit not because of them, we submit because of us. Now we submit because it is our new identity. We're self-identifying as people who submit because the Lord tells us to. Another thing, our new identity calls for us to have honor in our character. Now here's what I'm talking about. Look at verse 17. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Loving the brotherhood and fearing God is included within this setting. But honoring everyone and honoring the emperor, man, those are things that fall out there. That's a big instruction to honor everyone. Again, what other belief system can you name and expect its followers to literally honor everyone? How can anyone be expected to honor everyone? Well, there's only one way. Honoring everyone requires a deep change in our character. Let me tell you one of the things that really burdens me, and I've probably talked with you before about this. From my perspective, the quality, the characteristic of honor seems to be declining. From my perspective, people about whom I can say that's an honorable person, that number is growing less and less and less. Honor does not seem to be a characteristic that's pursued anymore. Would you agree with me? Now, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about, in general, the culture, the society. Honor just doesn't seem to be something that's a priority much anymore. We can't be swayed by that. That can't influence us. Honor must remain a high priority for us. We must be a people of honor, always, in all settings, with everybody, not because they deserve it, but because we belong to Christ Jesus and we have His Spirit living in us. We are a people of honor. Agreed? We're a people of honor. Maybe I should define what I believe to be the characteristic of honor. Honor is doing the right thing simply because it's the right thing to do. Doing the right thing may be personally painful to me, but if I have honor, I'll do it anyway, even if it hurts. Agreed? And I'll do it out in public. Even if the public doesn't like this honorable thing I'm doing, I'll still do it in public. Honor is saying the right thing, even if saying the right thing costs me. I'll still say the right thing because it's the honorable thing to say, even out in public. Because sometimes I said, but particularly in this culture, sometimes saying the right thing is going to cause people to go, "You can't say that." I can. I just did. Because it's the right thing to say. Truth is that which aligns with reality. We must speak truth always because it's the honorable thing to say. I got to tell you, friends, it's easy to say amen in here. I'm glad you are. But we've got to say the right thing out there. Honor is saying the right thing. Honor is sacrificing personal pride. Pride gets in the way of honor. Sometimes honoring everyone requires that I put someone else ahead of myself. Man, that is a difficult thing to do. But being honorable very often means eating some crow, swallowing my pride, and putting someone else ahead of myself. Culture redefines honor in many ways. Let's stick by God. Honoring everyone requires a God change in character. And here's what we find today. People are using the same vocabulary, but they're using a different dictionary in many areas of life. And it's the same thing with honor. People are saying, "I'm honorable," but they're redefining honor. They're redefining the whole concept of honor. Culture's definition of honor revolves around sinfulness and around disobedience to God. God's definition of honor revolves around godliness and Scripture. People, we have to be people of honor. It needs to be our core. It needs to be our character. Honor needs to define us. We need to self-define ourselves as honorable people. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, so let me close with this. In December of 1943, German fighter pilot Franz Stigler was in pursuit of an American bomber flown by Charlie Brown, not the cartoon character, a real man, Charlie Brown. But as he approached the plane, Stigler saw that this American bomber was just shot all to pieces. The rear gunnery compartment was gone. The stabilizer on the back wing was gone. The whole nose of the bomber had been blown away. As he approached the bomber, the skin of the bomber had been peeled away so he could see these young airmen in there tending to each other's wounds, waiting to be blown out of the sky. As he came up on this bomber in such sad shape, he made a choice. I'm not going to kill all these men. He thought to himself, this pilot, Brown, doesn't know what sad shape his bomber's in. So he flew up beside it. And in some way with hand gestures, he began saying, Charlie Brown, I'm not going to shoot you down. Follow me, and I'll try to, I'll lead you to a safe place to land. Brown wasn't buying it. He wouldn't follow Stegler. So after doing all he could, Stegler saluted to Brown, shouted, I guess, good luck, you're in God's hands now. And he cut away and left. Brown somehow was able to get the plane back among the Allies and land. In 1990, Brown had never been able to get that out of his mind. This man didn't shoot him down. So in a magazine for fighter pilots, he wrote an article where he was requesting to be communicated with by the pilot who saved my life on December 10th, 1943. And Stegler, who now lived in Vancouver, saw it, and he turned to his wife, and he said, that's the man I didn't shoot down. And he wrote him a letter, and these two had an emotional phone call, reconnecting. After all those years, reconnecting. And they stayed in touch, and they remained friends. In 2008, both of them passed away within 6 months of each other. And in their obituaries, each of them listed the other as a dear friend and special brother. An article about them in the New York Post almost coincidentally mentioned both of them were faithful followers of Christ Jesus. And I'm just sharing it with you to say this. Those of us who follow the Lord, no matter what the setting, no matter what the circumstance, at our core, we have honor. A characteristic of a Christ follower is we are honorable people. We have honor at our core. We're not like culture. Selfishness does not drive our day. It does not drive our life. Looking out for ourselves does not drive who we are. We are people of honor. We behave with honor. We submit with honor because we have a character of honor, the indwelling Holy Spirit. We self-identify differently than we did before. We self-identify differently than the folks who haven't followed Christ. We self-identify as people of honor. Amen? Let's pray together.